So first, the second of the Parshios begins and tells us, Im b'chukosai te'lechu, that if it will be that you will keep my chukim ve'es mitzvosai tishmoru, and you'll observe my mitzvos and do them, so then ultimately the Torah tells us that you're going to be blessed with rain in its proper time, and you'll be satiated, and you'll be full, and you'll have whatever you need because you're doing the mitzvahs. It's a very difficult concept to understand, especially since we know the very famous Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Kedushin tells us, Rava Omar, Hamani, Rabbi Yaakov, it's Rabbi Yaakov, Da Omar, who says, Schar mitzvah b'hai al maleka, that the reward for fulfilling a mitzvah is not given in this world. Desanya, we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov says, Ein lecha kol mitzvah u mitzvah shebesocha shebeksuva b'torah shematan schara b'tzida, that of all of the mitzvos that are written in the Torah and written with the reward, with the schar, there is not one, she'ein tchias hamesim tuluya ba, upon which tchias hamesim is not tuluya, is not connected to it. By kibud avayim, it's not referring to this world, it's referring to the next world. By shiluach hakein, it's not referring to this world, it's referring to the next world. And if that's the case, how do we understand, how do we reconcile in b'chukosai te'lechu v'etz mitzvosai tishmaru v'ashisem osam, and you will do them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you plentiful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you riches. It seems to be counter what we understand of schar mitzvah b'hai alma in this world leka. It doesn't exist. The Hanakama, it's difficult to understand. So how do we understand this idea? That's question number one. Question number two. The beginning pasuk of the first parsha of this week, it tells us, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. And Hashem spoke to Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor on Har Sinai, saying, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, speak to Bnei Yisrael, Vomart Elehem, you shall tell them, Kisavo el Oretz, that when you come into the land Asher Nosein Lachem, that I will give to you Vishafta Haaretz, and again you'll inhabit the land. You shall observe a Shabbos la Hashem. You shall observe a Shabbos, a rest for Hashem. And then the Pesukim continue, Sheishanim Tizra Sadecha, for 6 years you will plant, Vesheishanim Tizmar Karmecha, for 6 years you may prune your vineyard. V'asafta es tevuasa, and you may gather its crop. But the 7th year, again, shall be a Shabbos, Shabbason, Yihyeh lo'aretz, shall be a year of rest. It should be a Shabbos, and that obviously we know is the year of Shemitah. Rashi comes and tells us and asks a very famous question, Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai? What is the juxtaposition of ideas between Shemitah and Har Sinai? V'halo kol ha-mitzvos nemru mi-Sinai. Weren't all of the mitzvos discussed and spoken at Sinai? Elama shmita nemru chloloseo protoseo v'diktukeo mi-Sinai. Just like shmita, all of the general ideas and all of the specifics and all the nuances were given at Sinai, afkulan nemru, so too all of the mitzvos, chloloseen and protoseen and diktukeen, they were all given at Sinai as well. So that is why, explains Rashi, the reason why Har Sinai, Bahar Sinai, is juxtaposed to the mitzvah of Shemitah is to inform us that just like Har Sinai, just like Shemitah, all of the nuances and all the mitzvos and all of the specifics of that mitzvah were given at Har Sinai, so too all of the mitzvos and its pratim were given at Sinai as well. But the Or HaChaim HaKadosh nonetheless asks an obvious question. And that is, Adayin Yesh Makom L'Sha'al Oseinu. One still has the ability to ask, Lama lo limed ze, ela b'mitzvah zu, b'diyuk. But why specify, why single out the mitzvah of Shemitah? Lama lo limed ze, ela b'mitzvah zu, b'diyuk. Why specifically the mitzvah of Shemitah, v'lo b'mitzvah rishona, not the first mitzvah, achrona, the last mitzvah? What is specific, unique about the mitzvah of Shemitah that specifically we are using as an example the mitzvah of Shemitah, that just like Shemitah, all of the mitzvos and all of its nuances and all of its general ideas were given at Sinai by Shemitah, so too all the mitzvos. Pick the mitzvah of Sukkah, the mitzvah of Lulav. Pick any of the other mitzvos. Why specifically are we using the example of Shemitah, asks the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, unlike any of the other mitzvos. That's question number two. Question number three. The Torah tells us in this week's Parsha, V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov ve'af es brisi Yitzchak, and I shall remember the covenant with Yaakov and the covenant with Yitzchak, ve'af, and even the covenant with Abraham Eskor, I shall remember. Rashi comes and asks the obvious question, why is it that we're beginning with Yaakov and ending with Avram? Seemingly, it should start with Avraham, followed by Yitzchak, followed by Yaakov. As Rashi comes and says, Lama Nimnu Acharonis, why is it that we're learning it in this way? After all, Kedaihu Yaakov Hakotan, Vim Eno Kedai Hare Yitzchak Imo. Vim eno kedai hare Avraham imo shehu kedai. So Rashi comes and says that the reason why the psukim are arranged in this order is to tell us that it would be sufficient enough in the schus of Yaakov. Klal Yisrael should be remembered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be kind to Klal Yisrael in the schus of Yaakov. However, if for whatever reason, if it doesn't work out, and Yaakov isn't sufficient enough, so Yitzchak is with him. And for sure, in the schus of Yitzchak, Klal Yisrael will be found to be favorable in the eyes of God. And then Rashi continues, Vim eno kedai, and still if Klal Yisrael isn't worthy, based upon the schus, the merit of Yaakov or Yitzchak, Hare Avram Imo. Avram is with them for sure, Shehu Kedai. Certainly, in the schus of Avraham, along with Yaakov and Yitzchak, certainly now Klal Yisrael will be in good standing in the eyes of God. Now asks Rav Sternbach, what comes out from Rashi's understanding is that Yaakov is considered to be the smallest of the Avos. Nechshav Hakatan, he's deemed to be the smallest in stature. The Avraham Nechshav Hagadol, Avraham is considered to be the greatest of the Avos. Shebevadai, that certainly with Avraham, it's going to be Kedai. In other words, Hakadosh Baruch Hu for sure in the schus of Avraham. Maybe Yaakov won't help, Yitzchak won't help, but certainly Avram, so we're going to finish with Avram, meaning we're going to save the biggest for last. We're going to go with the smallest first. If the smallest doesn't work, we're going to bring in a bigger gun, a bigger gadol. If that gadol doesn't work, then we're going to go to the biggest, and that's Avram. But that's a very difficult thing to digest, asks Rav Sternbach. Because we know that the Medrash tells us that Yaakov Avinu was the Bachir Ha'avos. He was the choicest of Avos. He was the most special of the Avos. Chazal tells us that it was the Demus of Yaakov, the image of Yaakov, which is Chakuk, which is engraved into the Merkava, into the Kisei HaKavod. It's Yaakov who is the Midah of Emes. Yaakov Avinu personifies the pursuit of truth. And that is precisely, says Chazal, is the Chasima of Hashem. The Chasima, the sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. Then how can we possibly say that the schus of Yaakov, the merit of Yaakov is not and perhaps won't be sufficient enough that ultimately we're going to have to end up with Avraham Avinu? The implication of that statement is that Yaakov isn't good enough. What Yaakov stands for isn't sufficient enough. Very, very difficult to digest such a statement. I want to suggest, based upon the question of Rav Sternbach, that this isn't contradicting the Medrash at all. The Medrash tells us that Yaakov is the Bachir Shebe Avos. He's the choicest of the Avos, of the patriarchs. He and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are aligned in that they both stood and they personified and continued to personify the attributes of Emes, of truth. Yaakov was an Ish Tam. Yaakov was one that sat in the tent and sat and learnt Bahasmada Rabbah. There will never be another like Yaakov Avinu. But that doesn't necessarily mean that when it comes to Schuyos, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering the Avos, that Avraham Avinu can't be the Gadol, the great one out of all of them. After all, there wouldn't be a Yaakov Avinu. There wouldn't be a Yaakov who understood and appreciated what it meant to sit and learn in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'ever for all those uninterrupted years, if not for Avraham Avinu. There wouldn't be a Yitzchak Avinu if not for the choices that Avraham Avinu made. Avraham Avinu, from the time that he was a little boy, the Rambam tells us that along with his father and the entire inhabitants of Or Kasdim, they were all Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They all worshipped idols, Avraham included. And Avraham Avinu decided that something doesn't feel right. And he started to learn, and he started to grow, and he started to develop, and he started to understand the world in a different way. Until finally, at the age of 40, he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was that choice, and the choice of being thrown into the Kivshon HaEsh, and the choice of going and fulfilling all of the Nisyonos, all of the trials and tribulations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed before him. It was the choice of recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, that Avraham Avinu made, that allowed Yitzchak to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to become a korban. And it allowed Yaakov to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should sit and learn. But all of that comes about because of the choices that Avraham Avinu made. If Avraham Avinu would not have come and not have made those choices, there wouldn't be a Yitzchak. There wouldn't be a Yaakov. There wouldn't be an Am Yisrael. He made a choice, and ultimately that choice impacted generations and an entire world. He was Avram. He was an Av of Aram. And then he became Av Hamon Goyim. His choices impacted an entire world. That now he became Av Hamon Goyim. Choices that we make don't only impact us. We don't live in a vacuum. But they impact generations and generations. Lemushel, for example. Just as Avram made a choice that impacted him and generations in an entire world, so too the choices that Lot made, The Torah tells us, Vayomer Avram El Lot, that Avram said to Lot, Al Natim Riva, we shouldn't fight anymore. Halachol Ha'aretz Lefanecha, the entire land is before you. Hipare Na Me'alai, remove yourself from me. Im Hasmol Ve'imina, Vim Hayamin Ve'asmi'ela. Avram Avinu was telling him, you have a choice, I'm giving you a choice. You have a choice to make. If you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, then I'll go right. And ultimately, what happened? Lot, he processed. He understood that he had a choice. He saw that now he has an opportunity before him to create his own identity and his own path. And the Torah tells us, Vayivchar lo Lot, that Lot made a choice. Lot surveyed the entire landscape. And ultimately, he chose stone. He chose to live a life of decadence. To live a life of what's mine is mine and yours is yours. He didn't want to associate himself with Avraham Avinu. He wanted to make his own choice. And ultimately, that choice has ramifications for eternity, for Dore Doros, as we all know, that ultimately Lot came and he had relations with his daughters. And from that relationship, from those relationships, came out Ammon and Moab, came out nations. And those nations, says the Psukim, Klal Yisrael is not allowed Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi Bikahal Hashem Ad Olam for eternity. That Ammon and Moab are never allowed to enter the Kahal, the congregation of Am Yisrael. Lot's legacy, Lot's destiny is forever linked to an incestual relationship, a relationship that bore out of that relationship a nation that will never, ever be able to become a member of Am Yisrael. Those are choices. Avraham Avinu made a choice, and it's Avraham Avinu's children that will be serving in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It is the children of Avraham Avinu that forever will be the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Lot had that choice. But Lot made a different choice. And that choice ultimately impacted generations and generations for eternity. Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi B'Kahal Hashem Ad Olam for eternity. We don't live in a vacuum. Avraham Avinu understood that his choices are going to impact a world. Lot didn't understand that. Lot didn't understand that it was going to be a choice that he made that will come and impact generations and generations to come. Avraham Avinu, he built worlds. And Lot destroyed worlds. And you can even understand that from the Psukim. Because the Psukim tell us after Avraham Avinu gave Lot a choice. What does the Pasuk tell us? The Pasuk tells us, Vayisa Lot es Einav, that Lot raised his eyes, Vayar es kol kikar hayardein, and he saw the plain of the Yardein. That's all he saw. He saw the here and the now. All he saw was this kol kikar hayardin. He didn't see beyond the plain of the Jordan. And ultimately, his legacy is going to be a legacy of immorality. His descendants born out of an incestual relationship. And ultimately, a congregation, a nation, that lo yavo amoni umoavi bekal Hashem ad olam. And we find this as well. It was between Pesach. It was in Chol HaMoed Pesach. And I've spoken this in shul in the past. So Chol HaMoed is a time where B'nai Yeshiva are off from Yeshiva and they come to shul. And there was one Yeshivalite, one Yeshiva Bachar that came to the shul and the Rav wasn't there. And the Gabbai had asked this Yeshiva Bachar to come and to share words of Torah between Pesach, between the first days and the second days. At first he refused. He said that he wasn't a man of words. He didn't feel comfortable. But they pressured him, and ultimately he acquiesced to their wishes, and he got up and he spoke a few words. And he begins by explaining to the members of the Kehillah that in a few days we're going to be reading about Kriyas Yamsuf. We all know that Kriyas Yamsuf took place on the seventh day of Pesach. And he told the people that in a few days we're going to be reading about Kriyas Yamsuf. And Klal Yisrael, when they stood by the Yamsuf, Klal Yisrael was in a very dangerous place. After all, in front of them was the Yamsuf, behind them was the Egyptians, to the side of them were Chayos, Raos, were wild animals. They had nowhere to go, they had nowhere to turn. And it was at that point that there was a person by the name of Gershon ben Aminadav. And Gershon ben Aminadav, says this Yeshiva Bachar, was pondering the pros and the cons of why he should jump and why he shouldn't into the Yamsuf. On one hand, he needs to jump because that's what Klal Yisrael needs. They need someone, b'makom she'ein ish, in a place where there's not a person, he has to stand up because that is what was expected of him. But on the other hand, he had a family to tend to. He had a wife and children. He couldn't just jump into the Yamsuf and leave these children without a father and a wife without a husband. And he's pondering and he's vacillating back and forth. And finally he says that he comes to the decision internally. He says to himself that he's going to jump. And as he's about to jump, there's another Jew by the name of Nachshon ben Aminadav that doesn't make any cheshbonos, any calculations, and he just jumps in. And forever, Nachshon ben Aminadav will be remembered for that act of Mesiras Nefesh. Gershon ben Aminadav is not heard of, no one knows from him. He doesn't exist in the history books. He wasn't zoche to certain schuyos, to certain merit that Nachshon ben Aminadav was given for that act of Mesiras Nefesh. Gershon ben Aminadav, he had a choice to make. And he vacillated. And he was paralyzed by that choice. That choice had overtaken him. And perhaps he was going to make the choice. But he didn't. And instead, Nachshon ben Aminadav made the choice. And forever he's linked with the greatest miracle that perhaps the world has ever seen. The sea splitting and an entire nation coming through on dry land and then closing up on this strong Egyptian nation. We don't live in a vacuum. The choices that we make have ramifications for generations to come. And that is how we're able to understand. And that is how we are able to understand our second question. The question that we ask was the Torah tells us in Bechuvosai Teilechu Ves Mitzvosai Tishmeru Vasisem Osam. The pasuk comes and tells us that if you will keep my ordinances and you will observe my mitzvos, I'm going to give you reward in this world. And we asked an obvious question. The Gemara Maseches Kedushin tells us, Schar mitzvah b'hai al maleka, that there is no reward in this world. Any mitzvah that has reward associated to it, says the Gemara, it must be talking about Olam Haba, Tchias HaMesim, another world. But yet in this week's Parsha, in B'chukosai Teilechu, it tells us that we're going to have physical sustenance. We're going to be satiated. We're going to be living a life of tranquility and peace. We're going to have a bountiful of fruit and vegetables, and we'll have parnasa. And if we don't do it, says the Torah, we're going to have famine and milchama, and we're going to be lagging behind. How do we understand that? Schar mitzvah b'hal maleka. So says Reb Aaron Lopiansky, he says brilliantly, he says that there's no question about it. Schar mitzvah, reward for a mitzvah b'hai alma in this world, is leka, doesn't exist. The only reward is in the world to come is Olam Haba. However, how am I supposed to do the mitzvos if I'm embroiled in battle? How am I supposed to do the mitzvos, asks Reb Aaron Lopiansky, if I don't have food to eat? How am I supposed to learn if I hear guns and missiles outside? It's impossible. And therefore, says Reb Aaron Lopiansky, Yashbia lanu kol hatovos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to sustain us with all of the good, HaMachzikos es yodenu, and strengthen our hands, La'asos haTorah, to do the Torah, Kigon sovea v'shalom v'riboy kesef, will be satiated, we'll have peace, we'll have a plentifulness of money, gold and silver, Kidei shelo naso kol yamenu, so that we don't have to engage bidvarim shehaguf tzarech lahen, in other affairs, in the physical world. So says Reb Aaron Lopiansky, that's not reward. That's just allowing us to do the mitzvos so that we can be given our reward in the next world. So im bichuko sai teilechu, if you will keep my mitzvos, I will allow you to do other mitzvos. And how is it that I will allow you to do other mitzvos? By giving you what you need in this world. But what I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am giving you in this world, don't confuse that for schar mitzvah. That's not schar mitzvah. That's just the basics. That's just the basics to ensure, to allow you to do other mitzvos. If you don't have gas in the car, you can't drive. Gas in the car isn't the reward. That's a basic need, so I can get from point A to B. The reward is once I get to point B, now compensate me. In other words, in bichuko saite lechu, if you choose the world of mitzvos, if you choose the life of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you that that choice will afford you the opportunity to live a life of shalom and shalva, a life of kesev and zahav, a life of soveya, a life of fulfillment. The choices that we make impact our eternal existence, but also our lives in this world as well. We don't live in a vacuum. And just like Avraham Avinu made a choice and ultimately it impacted the spiritual identity of Am Yisrael for eternity, and even though Yaakov Avinu was the Bachir Sheba Avos, he was the choicest of all the Avos, But it was through Avram that made the choice that allowed his children to have that quality of life on a spiritual level. And now the Torah is telling us that even on a physical level, if you decide, b'chukosai teilechu, v'es mitzvosai tishmoru, v'asisem osam, and you do that, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by your choice, I will be compelled to give you sustenance in this world so that you can have your world of eternity, your eternal world, your schar in the next world. And that's pshat. That's how we understand our last question. Pirkei Avos comes and tells us something very interesting. Pirkei Avos tells us, Yehi mamon chavercha chaviv alecha kishelach. Rabbi Yossi says that Yehi mamon chavercha, that the money of your friend shall be as dear to you as your own. V'haskein atzmecha lilmo Torah, and you shall prepare yourself to study Torah, she'ena Yerushalach, that it's not an inheritance. And the Mefarshim come and ask an obvious question. What's the connection between these ideas? They seem to be three, or minimally, two totally different ideas, disparate ideas, disparate themes. Yehi mamon chavercha chaviv alecha kishelach is one idea, that the money of your friends should be as dear to you as your own. That's one idea. And then the other idea is v'haskein atzmecha lilmo Torah. Sit. Learn Torah. She'eni Yerushalach. It's not an inheritance. What's the connection between these two themes? Seemingly there's no connection. So the Sigata Rebbe, he's quoted as follows, and I want to share with you his words. He says, "Sha'al yidei shehayiladim mispatmin mimamon gezel, shesiglu ayidei maso matan she'eno be'emuna, noldim bekirbam taivos umidos geruos v'toraso mishtakachas." That if children are taught, or children are nursed on money answers everything, and all of life's problems will be solved by the mighty dollar. And if children see that a parent is not erlich, is not righteous, that the money that he receives and everything he has is done she'eno be'emuna, without believing that Hashem had decided at Rosh Hashanah who has what. If a child is raised with that hashkav, without outlook, noldim bikirbam, born into their essence, into these children's hearts, is taivos, is lust and desire, omidos, gruos, are deficient midos, the Torasta Mishkachachas, and their Torah will forever be forgotten. And that is the connection between Yehi Mamon Chavercha Chaviv Alecha Kishelach and Vahaskein Atzmecha Lelilmo Torah She'ena Yerushalach. Meaning that if a person doesn't want the values of Torah and the hashkafa of Torah to be forgotten, he has to be diligent and he has to be careful and he has to set an example for his children. Because if his children see that the money is done in an erlicha way, so now they see that the Torah is emes. It's lilmod al menas la'asos. And the Torah will never be forgotten.
But if a child sees that I'm acting one way and the Torah says something different, then the study of Torah will never be remembered. It'll always be forgotten. Because Torah is not a Yerusha. It has to be acquired. And it's acquired. The Torah is a package. It's Lilmon Almanaz La'asos. If a person values his friend's dollar, so now he's ready to learn. Now he's preparing himself to learn. Now the Torah won't be forgotten. If you're careful with your friend's money and your business dealings, your interactions in business are be'emuna, now you can learn Torah. Kirakim yiyah mamono kosher. If only your money is kosher, if your money is erlach, then you can engage in Torah. Because now it's not a Yerusha. You're taught the value. Now it shows that you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once you have that hashkafa that you believe in Hashem, now you can sit and learn His Torah. Now the Torah has a context. Now you'll be able to transmit the Torah because the Torah has a context. There's an emuna, tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. The Torah is a context that it's given by the Almighty. The Torah is Misinai, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, is truthful. So too is His Torah, so too are His children. And that is, I believe, why specifically it was the halacha of Shemitah. Because the halacha of Shemitah is the one mitzvah, perhaps unlike any other mitzvah, that teaches us that the entire world belongs to Hashem. Once the money, I teach my children that the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehi mamon of Hashem shall be as dear to me as it is to Hashem. Once I come and articulate that idea that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's land, now the idea has been taught that Shemitah is because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Now it puts the entire Torah into a greater context. Now the Torah is able to be taught and nurtured, and now it's able to be imbued into the hearts of our children. But first and foremost, there has to be that element of emunah. Our children have to be taught to believe that there's an Hashem. They believe in Hashem when we act in an erlich way in business. They will believe in Hashem if we teach them about the halakhos of Shemitah. Once they see that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and they understand that Shemitah is all about Hashem, that it's Hashem's world, now they'll be able to appreciate the entire Torah. As the Sefer HaChinuch writes, Likboa bilibeinu ulitzayir tzir chazak, that the root of the mitzvah of Shemitah is to embed and to root and to establish in our hearts this image, this picture, this strong picture. Inyan chidush ha'olam, that the world was created from scratch. Ki sheish es yomim asa Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in 6 days. But bayom ha'shvi, He didn't create anything. Menucha al atzmo, there is a rest. Ulaman hasir v'la'akor u'l'sharish mirayonenu devar hakadmus, and by removing and uprooting this idea that has been planted into the world, that the kofrim suggest that the world came and was here before God created it, ba chovo aleinu, it's incumbent upon us, lahotzi kol zmanenu yom yom, v'shana shana, every single day and every year, we have to count 6 days, and on the 7th day is Shabbos. And we count 6 years, and the 7th year is Shemitah. We do this to remind ourselves that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. That's why specifically, ask the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, why the mitzvah of Shemitah? The reason why it's the mitzvah of Shemitah, it's because Shemitah is the mitzvah that affords us the opportunity to be mechazek our amuna in Hashem. Once we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, now there's not a question that all of the dikea and protosea and kloosea, all of the nuances of the mitzvos were given on Sinai as well. The mitzvah of lulav doesn't do that. The mitzvah of esrog doesn't do that. But the mitzvah of Shemitah does. And that is precisely, specifically why the mitzvah of Shemitah, because the mitzvah of Shemitah puts the entire Torah into a context that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, yesh mi'ayin, from nothing to something. So let's just review quickly. We asked a number of questions. Question number one was, why is it that we specify the mitzvah of Shemitah? And we came and we said, and question number two is, why is it that in B'chukosai Teilechu, what about Tzchar Mitzvah Bahai Amaleka? And why is it that we seem to suggest that Yaakov is the katan of the Avos, when Chazal teach us that he's the Bachir Sheba Avos? And we came and we said that ultimately it was Avram Avinu who made a choice. So even if Yaakov was the Bachir Sheba Avos, it was Avram Avinu, through his choices, allowed the Avos to shine. We don't live in a vacuum. And just as Avraham Avinu made a choice that had ramifications for generations and an entire world, B'derek Rukhni, so too, the choices we make as well, by keeping HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos, that choice allows us to live a life of serenity, a life of comfort. Not that it's our Schar Mitzvah, but it's just the fuel in the car that allows us to get to place B, where we'll ultimately receive our Schar Mitzvah. It's those choices, ultimately. It's those choices of being mechazek our emuna and strengthening our belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah and gives us the mitzvos, that ultimately is the reason why we begin with the mitzvah of Shemitah, to articulate the idea of all the Torah and all the mitzvos and all of its specifics were given at Har Sinai. We have choices in life, and ultimately, every choice dictates our future. Have a wonderful, wonderful night, and thank you so much for joining me.
Good night, Rabbi. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Maybe answered another question of mine. I was also thinking when you asked your second question.